had the opportunity yesterday to go to Rick Beard's memorial service. I'm going to share a little bit of that with you later. I think these verses we read this morning and these songs of giving, realizing that we're in the body now, but there's waiting for us a home. If you did not receive the outline here, raise your hand and be sure that you get one of those. You can follow along with us here this morning. Our theme for the year, take root downward and bear fruit upward. And we've been looking at this series called Sowing and Reaping. And our verse today, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And I'd like for all of us to read this verse together, if we would, please. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this morning. Father, we thank You for this Lord's Day. We thank You that we have the freedom that we can come and worship You. And Lord, we do not take that for granted, because there are many places in the world that they do not have that freedom, and they cannot come and assemble without the fear of being put in prison or persecuted. And Lord, we have that freedom, and Lord, help us never to take it for granted. We pray Your Spirit would move in our midst. Pray for the anointing of Your Spirit to give the words You would have to be spoken. May our hearts be open. May our ears be open to hear. And Lord, may Your Spirit move in our midst. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word that You've given to us. And then, Lord, we pray for those who may be ill or not able or traveling. We ask that You would be with them and strengthen them, Father. Lord, we thank You. This day, minister to our hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question that we're looking at here is, what is the law of sowing and reaping? This is the same that we find a basic law of cause and effect. It's a law, basic law of life. And the Bible calls this sowing and reaping, a law of harvest. And so in our two verse scriptures, we take our theme for the year. We see this: sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Now the last time, we considered the consequences as we were reminded in Numbers. They will bear the consequence of their sin. And they that sow the wind will reap the whirlwind. So today the question we want to consider is, what are rewards? There are consequences. There are judgment to come, but there are also rewards. There are blessings to be had. And so I want us to consider that today. As we think about these rewards, reminded of what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 25. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." We see here how God rewards faithfulness. So our key idea today is this, that there will be rewards. Hebrews 11, a great chapter on faith, tells us these words, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." As we would want to please God, we need to have faith. "Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." We believe, we know that He exists. We also know that He rewards those who seek Him. And then 1 Corinthians 3:14, "If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward." So these verses point to the fact that our faith, our faithfulness, our service, all these are rewarded. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, is the final judgment of believers. In 2 Corinthians, we just read this in chapter 5. Last time we looked at the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, which is the final judgment of unbelievers. So we have these two final judgments, one for believers and one for unbelievers. And as Romans 14:12 tells us, so then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God, believers or unbelievers. So where will you be on the judgment day? At the judgment seat of Christ or at the great white throne judgment? And so we take a look today at this judgment seat of Christ. And as that verse reminds us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. First question we might ask then, who will be judged at this judgment seat of Christ? Those who are believers, in 2 Corinthians 5, that pronoun we is used 26 times. And each time it refers only to believers. We, as believers, will appear before this judgment seat of Christ. And when will we be judged, or when will they be judged? We read these words in Luke 14, although they cannot repay, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So there is a resurrection of the righteous. And for the Son of Man is coming, is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and when then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Now I'd like you to look with me at this chart. Help us get a visual of what is coming. As we think about this this chart here, the crucifixion of Christ, His burial, His resurrection, and then what's called the church age. Now, at His resurrection, there was the first of the resurrections. And then at the end of the church age, believers are taken up to heaven. There's what's called the rapture. And this is also part of that first resurrection. And the 7 years of tribulation. Now, after the believers are taken up in that rapture, speaks of this judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat, as we're going to see here. And then Jesus Christ will return, and this is called the second coming, as He returns with the believers. And then there's a 1,000 years reign, a millennial kingdom. And then we have the resurrection of the unsaved, and the judgment of Satan, and the great white throne judgment here. And then a new heaven, a new earth. And then those who are, at the great white throne judgment are cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death, only for non-believers. So have a picture in our mind of these future events that are coming, that we understand what the Bible says about these. And then we look at the question here is, where will they be judged? At the judgment seat, or the Bema seat as it's called here, Bema. Now this was a place where awards were given out to the winners in the annual Olympic Games. The time of Paul, they had a Bema seat at the end of each event, just like we know of the Olympics today. The awards are given at the Bema seat. Then at that time was called the Bema seat. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells us this, that we will meet the Lord in the air, the rapture, and so we will be with the Lord forever. So soon after we meet with the Lord in the air, as we see here in this chart, gives us a good picture of this. All right, Christ comes in the air, meets the church, believers are raptured, and then we see this judgment, the Bema seat, the judgment of believers, taking place right here, the judgment of believers for their works. And we're going to take note of this here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, what that means. And then later comes the marriage of the Lamb. And so we see that in the air this is going to take place. Exactly where in heaven, we're told that this will take place. And then the fourth question we need to ask ourselves is this: how will they be judged? Of course, this will be a fair, impartial judgment. And the test will be by fire. All right? God knows everything about us. There's nothing hidden. And fire, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. I saw how they go deep in the mines of South Africa to get the gold. South Africa is very famous for its gold. And they go miles deep into the earth. And they break up the stones, and the gold's there mixed with the stones, and bring that to the surface, and then that is melted at a very high temperature. And that melting, the gold comes out and goes in these gold bars. But it's the fire that will be tested by fire. And so we see here what will be judged. Now, first of all, we need to understand that it's not the judgment of sins. Sins committed before our conversion will not be judged. Hebrews 10:17, very clear about this. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Praise God. When we repent of our sins, we believe in Jesus Christ, those sins are taken away, washed away. The believer's being judged then for works, not for sins. And this has nothing to do with our salvation. So we see these, what they will be judged for. There are five things here that you can take note of. First of all, write this down, they're judged their works. Their work will be shown for what it is during the day, because the day will bring it to light. Now, God knows the works that we have done. And so that day, it will be revealed by fire, the works. And then that we see, secondly, that they will be judged their words. For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, this is a very solemn thought. Every idle word, that's a word that slips out. Well, I didn't really mean to say that. Every idle word. And then we're judged not for works, not only for works and words, but also thoughts. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And these are what defile a person. Our thoughts. And so we're reminded in Scripture that we bring every thought into captivity. Not to allow these thoughts to, we bring them into captivity. We capture these thoughts and have control of the thoughts. Because thoughts become words and become actions. And then another interesting thing is here that they were judged their secrets. Their secrets will be judged. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. These secrets of the heart. These secrets that we think maybe no one else knows, but God knows. God knows everything about us and everything about that is in our hearts. So our works, our words, our thoughts, our secrets. And then one other thing I want you to take note of here, that He will judge their motives. Not just what is done as far as works, but is it a pure motive why it was done? The correct motive, of course, is Christ's love. Compels us. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels us. Do we do it out of love? Or is it a wrong motive? Is it self-glory? Do we do it to get the praise of God or the praise of men? And our motives are also judged. So think about that as you, the works, the words, the thoughts, the secrets, the motives. And then what are the results of this? We see here that the results are that for the works that remain, there will be rewards. So as the fire burns away that which is impure, the pure things that remain are the things that God will reward. For that which is burned, the individual will suffer loss. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Yes, there will be salvation. But, God tests the pure motives and burns away that which is not for Him and for His glory. So think of this application here. How can I be prepared? How can I prepare for the judgment seat of Christ? It's coming. How can I prepare for it? And I think about that, I can prepare by constant fellowship with Christ. That my heart is in tune with Christ. By self-examination, even as we think about the Lord's Supper, every time we partake of it, we examine our hearts. Prayer, by meditation on God's Word, by a clear conscience, and by faithful service to the will of God. And so as we think about this judgment seat of Christ, it is coming. And we need to prepare our hearts for that. And here's how we can do that. And then I want you to think about, secondly, what are the eternal rewards? Here we see in Matthew chapter 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. There are many who, think of the money in the bank or having this or that, storing up these treasures on earth. But Jesus said, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So are we storing up our treasures in heaven? And so as we think about the eternal rewards, there are some questions we need to ask. First of all, is it fireproof? The things that are pure, we talked about gold, silver, and costly stones. These things that are pure in God's eyes. Now, people have treasures on this earth. The stock market goes up and it comes down, it crashes. That doesn't last. A bank could burn. People hide their money under their mattresses, and a house could burn that down. It's fireproof. But then there are the question here is, what is combustible? What will burn? The things that are impure, wood and hay and straw, these things burn easily. It's of the flesh and not of the spirit. And so we think about, well, what are these fireproof works? They are righteous, honest, faithful, loving, patient, humble, and peaceful works that are done for God's glory and out of pure motives. But the combustible works, those things that were burned up, the self-righteous, just like that Pharisee who prayed to be seen of men, I thank you, I'm not like this tax collector. They were self-righteous. Dishonest works. Even good things done with wrong motives. Unloving, impatient, prideful, and divisive works. These things are burned away. These things are not what will endure the fire. And then we think next, what crowns are rewarded? Revelation 4:4. They were dressed in white. I think of white as being like the righteousness of Christ. We put on the robe of righteousness that is Jesus Christ. But then it tells us here that they also had crowns of gold on their heads. So the Bible mentions here five different crowns. I want you to take note of these five different crowns here. What are these crowns that the Bible mentions for us here? First of all, we see the crown that will last forever. This is sometimes called the incorruptible crown. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Today in the Olympics, they have the gold medal and the silver medal and the bronze medal. This is something that can be put in a case or whatever. Back at that time, in Paul's time, in the Olympics, they would had a wreath that they would put on their head, made of a plant that was wrapped around a wreath. And so he says here that crown will not last, but the crown that God has that will last forever, that incorruptible crown. So we see here this first crown, and then the second crown is called the crown of rejoicing. 1 Corinthians 2:19 to 20. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So this crown of rejoicing, sometimes called the soul winner's crown. Yesterday, at the memorial service for Rick Beard, afterwards they had a grave site, kind of a burial for the immediate family and friends. And it's interesting, they had a time that people could share during that time. And one older man stood up and shared that how he had led Rick to the Lord when Rick was 17 or 18 years of age, that he talked to Rick and explained to him the gospel, and Rick accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then that man shared the fact that being at this memorial service, that this was like a crown of, it was rejoicing to him to hear the testimonies of those who shared how God had used Rick. Rick had, it had been shared that he had difficult times in his life, and that he had also turned back to the Lord, and how God had used him. And so the crown of rejoicing, that man was standing up rejoicing, and that God had that crown of rejoicing, that he had seen Rick accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know that when you give the gospel to somebody and they accept it and they believe in Jesus Christ, it gives joy to your heart. But in the presence of God, that person in the presence of God, that's a crown of rejoicing. And then we see not only this victor's crown, this soul winner's crown, but number three is called a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4, we read these words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is stored for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Now, this crown of righteousness that we continue, even in the last days, we continue to live lives that are right before God. And this crown of righteousness, that we long for His appearing, that we are looking for the day when Jesus Christ will return. You know, we're aware of that. Christ is coming again. It could be today. And we love His appearing. We look forward to His appearing. We not only love Him, but we love His appearing. I've shared the story before. I love my father. I remember as a young boy, my brother and I, we often shared the same bedroom. And his bed faced the door. My bed was facing the other direction. And my brother was jumping up and down in bed, and I was jumping up and down in my bed. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't understand, my brother stopped. And I continued jumping. I didn't see the door, but at the door was my father. And I loved my father, but I did not love his appearing because I knew I was in trouble. And we ought to love the Lord, but we also live lives that we love his appearing. He could come today. We love his appearing. So there's that crown of righteousness. And then another crown that we see here is the crown of life. The crown of life. In James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. This is also called, and we see also the mention of this in Revelation 2, this is called the martyr's crown. The martyr's crown. The crown of life. Those who even to the point of giving their lives for their faith, the crown of life. We may be faced with persecution. We may not have to give of our lives, but we may need to stand up for the Lord. And by standing up for the Lord, whether it be giving our lives or not giving our lives, I believe this crown of life, for taking a stand for our faith. And it may involve giving of our lives. So we see one other crown here. Number 5 is called the crown of glory. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, and you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is called the elder's crown or the leader's crown. I believe this is for leaders of the church, whether it be Sunday school teachers or whatever leaders of the church, those who take care of God's flock, that shepherd God's flock under your care, watching over them, that there is a crown of glory for that. And then as we look at all these crowns, the crown of that lasts forever, incorruptible, the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown, the crown of righteousness, loving His appearing, the crown of life, the martyr's crown, or the stand up for Christ crown, and the crown of glory. And then I think the next question we ask ourselves, application, what will be done with these rewards and crowns? And it's interesting as we read here in Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders fell down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worshiped Him who lives forever and ever. Please note these words here. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." I don't think there's in heaven Jesus said He's preparing a place for us. I don't think there's a dwelling place. Yes, there's a dwelling place for us in heaven. But I don't think in heaven that there's a trophy ship, a trophy shelf or a trophy case. He's preparing a place for us in heaven. But when these crowns, these rewards are given, it tells us here that we will lay those crowns before the throne of Christ, because we acknowledge He is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Anything that we did here that it was only through His strength and by His power. And so these crowns, these rewards would be laid down at Jesus' feet, because only Christ is worthy of our praise. Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses, the prince of Egypt, the crown of Egypt could have been his, the glories of Egypt could have been his, But he did not regard those things because he was looking ahead to his reward. He was looking ahead to his crown. And so on this earth here, the rewards of heaven, remember, are greater value than all the treasures of this world. Anything that would be an honor in this world would not compare to the crowns or rewards of heaven. And then Hebrews 10 also reminds us this fact. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. You lost all these things. You were put in prison because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So we do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. Persevere. It may be a struggle sometimes. You may feel like giving up sometimes. Persevere. That when you've done the will of God, you know that you will receive what He has promised. And He has promised to us rewards and crowns. And better than any awards in this world has to offer are the crowns of heaven. These crowns cannot be compared to anything of treasure upon this earth. There's this poetry that Christian Runce wrote, and I like the words of this poem here. If everything I do each day were written in a book, if every evening I could see how that day's page would look. Can you imagine that? If every day, think about that, every day was written in a book, and every evening, if you could imagine looking at that day's page, what it would look. I feel that in each passing day, my record would improve. My thoughtless deeds I'd rectify, and all dross I would remove. Oh, help me, Lord, to not forget my record at Thy throne, and that my every thought and deed each day to Thee is known. Dwell Thou within my heart, I pray, and from dawn to the setting sun, that when my record is revealed, I may hear Thy well done. Just like this. Well done, good and faithful servant. To hear the words of praise be so simple. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That will make it worth it all. Now, a coach was reminding his team as they went out to participate, whether it be in a football or basketball or whatever it might be, that the game time is limited. So he told his team, when you go out there to play today, did you leave it all? Did you leave it all on the field today? Did you give 100%? Did you leave it all on the field today? And that's kind of like the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did you give it all? And these words by a famous missionary once wrote these words, only one life, so soon it will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, and it soon will pass. So quickly it passes away, and only what's done for Christ will last. Let's close in prayer together. Father, we thank You for the grace that You've shown to us, that Christ died on the cross for our sin, and that through Him and Him alone we have salvation. There is nothing we can do to earn that salvation, Lord. It's only by Your grace. And Lord, as followers of Jesus Christ, we pray that we would be found faithful. As followers of Jesus Christ, that one day we might hear the words of praise from our Lord and Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, it will be worth it all just to hear those words. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And Lord, any crowns or rewards that You would have, that as those works and words and deeds pass through the fire, they're pure. Lord, even then we would lay them down at Your feet because we are unworthy. And only You are worthy. Lord, we thank You. Help us to be faithful here, to serve You faithfully. And Lord, to give You all the glory and all the praise. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.